Moses say, I know God will honor me. I don't care about these people. I'll tell you why. Joshua and Caleb were tearing their clothes and said, we were inside. Everything which God promised is there. So please tell them, go, possess, go, possess, go, possess. And the Bible says, Moses and Aaron were silent. I feel like kicking them on their backside. It was Moses and Aaron, they knew they are not going to step into the destiny. I know some of you are looking at me very strangely. Please, these things, they don't teach in conferences. Because I believe many preachers don't care. So now Joshua and Caleb, if they were ambitious, say they're ambitious. If they understood the prophetic, they could have easily told, guys, we don't care. We know how to get in. We know how to come out. And we know we are carrying a good report. So if you guys are not going to come with us, we are still going in. I ask Joshua, brother, why you didn't do that? I ask Caleb, why you didn't do that? I learned it from you. I can step into time. You know what Joshua told me? Peter Kumar, I cared. I really cared for my people. I really cared for my people. I thought they will grow up. I didn't know that 40 years, they would not grow up at all. You know, the Bible says, there was manna from heaven. Every rock produced water. Rivers came out of rocks. Supernatural. Wind will bring words. Their clothes never became old. Their shoes, imagine, 40 years, if somebody was 6 years old, their shoe size must be 3.5. At the age of 46, the shoe is not going to be 3.5. I believe their clothes grew with them. I believe their shoes grew with them. Hello? God still told them, grow up. But the Bible says systematically they were dying. If there was a newspaper in the wilderness, there would not be any headlines. It will be full of obituary. Oh, she was there yesterday. I had a cup of coffee with her. She died. She died. She died. She died. She died. The Ark of the Covenant was with them. True or not, sir? Hello? See, today, please, many people marvel the presence of God. Today, most of the teaching is presence, presence. I'm sorry, sir. Presence alone is not important. Presence should become performance. Performance should become possessing. Was the presence with them? Yes. The pillar of cloud was there. The pillar of fire was there. God was so close to them, they can touch him. But still a whole generation was lost. I can see Joshua and Caleb weeping every day. Weeping every day. And every day they would say, God, we are growing up. We are growing up. We are growing up. My brother, my sister, please, this is the story of the church. Many people, they come out of bondage. They cross the Red Sea. Supernatural, 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 supernatural. But they don't understand their destiny at all. Now, Joshua and Caleb are leading a remnant. I like to use the word called remnant. It was a totally different generation with an attitude and a vision not to lose. Say that, not to lose. One more time. One more time. Please forgive me. I'm not as spiritual as you are. Yeah, because please, in many churches I see people have great revelation, great vision, having cup of tea with angels all the time, but real losers. So now Joshua and Caleb, they come to Jordan. Can you put the book of Joshua, chapter 3, verse 13 to 16. Verse 13 to 16. I need you. Yeah. We are talking about a corporate effort. Yeah. Yeah, 13 to 16, yeah.
13. But the Israelites did not drive out the people of Geshur and Makkah.
And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters. We know all this. The next one, sir. When the people set out from their camp to cross over, say that cross over. One more time. See, the purpose is not to have a glory club. How many of you know there are a lot of glory clubs in Canada? I've been to some of them. They sit on the chair, they put their hands, and some of them go to sleep, and then some of them fall off the chair. Every time the same chair, the same hand, and they see 27 angels. I like to watch them watching angels. Hallelujah. It's good fun. The next verse, sir. And those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore ark, they dipped the edge of the water, for the water overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. Say that harvest. How many of you understand that? See, there is a harvest beyond your wall. Say that, beyond my wall. Beyond my hurdle, there is a harvest. See, please understand, when they crossed the Red Sea was so shallow. But when they came to Jordan, they said, wow, we did the Red Sea, we did the Red Sea, but they never expected a wall. Today, many of us, we don't expect a wall at all. Because our previous experiences was just a cup of cake for us. Oh, I did it. I did it. I did it. I did it. God says, if you did it, now make it happen. Say that, make it happen. Make it happen. One more time. One more time. Moses and a whole generation, they missed the whole harvest. I will say they never cared. Today, many churches, they don't care about the harvest at all. Harvest is something for which you don't labor, God labors. You labor inside the church, God labors around the community to create a harvest for you. What is the harvest? Please, harvest is not a spiritual thing. Moses explained. He's prepared. Say that he has prepared. Houses which you never built. Cities which you never worked for. Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. See, please, you have to understand what you're missing out. What I'm missing out. They never had houses in Egypt. They had a work mindset. They gave all their gifts, all their talents, all their abilities, all their family for somebody else. But while they were still giving everything to somebody else in Egypt, God was working there. Hallelujah. Many of us, we don't understand this. So many people come and ask me, I don't know what God is doing. I don't know what God is doing. I don't know what God is doing. Yes, because you're not mindful of the harvest. You're only mindful of what is happening to you and what is not happening to you. God kept on saying, a land flowing with milk and honey, land flowing with milk and honey, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Joseph says, go to the land flowing with milk and honey. These guys never understood what it was. Moses even didn't understand. I'm sorry, please. This is how it is in the church. Many people don't even care to know what God has prepared for them. But coming back, can we go to the points? Can you put all the points? Corporate, say that corporate. Why is it important? Now God looks at Joshua and say, hey Joshua, I need to exalt you. Say that exalt. One more time. Please listen, guys. If you search the whole scriptures, till then God never exalted anybody. God blessed people. God blessed Abraham. God said, I will surely bless you. God didn't say, I will exalt you. Is there a difference? Is there a difference? I like the way you're all looking at me. Moses was the greatest prophet, but God could not exalt him. We are not undermining people, please. We are not undermining at all, but you have to understand how the kingdom works. In the kingdom, certain people will understand elevation, and many other people will not understand elevation at all. So what is God telling Joshua? Hey Joshua, I could not exalt anybody till now, but I want to exalt you. So how am I going to exalt you? The first thing, corporate. Say that, corporate. He said, you can't do it alone. I want people to carry the ark. You know, if I was standing beside Moses, I would have asked Moses, man, you're doing it everything on your own. You and your rod, you and your rod, you and your rod. Was Moses a happy man? He was a miserable man. He was a miserable man. How many of you understand? Many people are miserable in the ministry. Hallelujah. Please, don't think everybody who laughs have real joy. Hallelujah. Some of them are paid to laugh. So the first thing God says is, where Moses failed, he never had people who could bear the ark. Number two, he says, instruct them to step in and stand. Say that, stand. Stand. One more time. Stand. Today, church is full of people who will never stand. When they have to stand, they go to a prayer meeting. When they have to stand, they go to a glory club. And then they end up in Tim Hortons. Hallelujah. See, please, Moses did not have anybody to stand with him. You cannot make the ark create an overflow of the presence of God if you can't stand. If you can't stand. I am not preaching. I am talking. I am talking. And then you have to make the people who were carriers of the ark. Can you put so the book of Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4 verse 11 to 14. I want you to understand the principle. There were 12 people who were carriers of the ark. Say that, carriers of the presence. 12 people, they carry the presence. But what happens... Then it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over, that the ark of the Lord and the priest crossed over. Say they crossed over. One more time. One more time. Next verse, sir. And the men of Reuben and the men of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed. Say that, armed. See, the ark has to become an armor. This is where the prophetic works. Only the ark is not enough. Armed, can you put the previous verse? Armed before the children of Israel. See, before they went ahead as Moses had spoken to them. The next verse, about 40,000. See that 40,000. See, there are people who carry the ark. They stand. They stand. What do they give birth to? Say the birthing. One more time. One more time. While they stand, they give birth to people who could fight. 40,000. 40,000. Moses did not have fighting men. Moses was highly prophetic because he never knew how to fight. He was a fighter before he met with God. How many of you understand? Yeah. He knew how to kill somebody. But when he met with God, he said, I'm a stammerer. Was it the truth or a lie? It's a big lie. Acts chapter 7 verse 28. The Bible says Moses was excellent in word and speech. For him to say, I'm a stammerer, he needs a kick on his backside. No, please, what did he say? Leave me alone. I don't want to make another mistake. 'Fighting.' See, please, Joshua needed people who could carry the ark. They had to become armor bearers. Today the church does not have people who carry the presence and people who carry the armor. Please listen, sir. Thank you. Can you give him a hand, please? Now you may say, Peter Kumar, why are you saying all this? Why? Why? I've been praying so much for Pastor Randy, Christine, and the whole family. Now, I don't know what is happening, but every time I came, this church was overflowing. I'm not talking about the numbers game at all. So if some of you are here, I've seen you even the first time I came. That means you are people who are standing. You are people who are standing. Many people left. Many people left. Why? Because they don't want to stand. So my challenge to you is whether we are willing to fight. Because everybody who carries the presence, they don't know how to fight. And that's the biggest lack in the church. That's the biggest lack. Please, I mean, I understand ministry, my brother, my sister. Please, don't think I don't understand. Today there are churches which are built only on worship, which is excellent. What do they bring in? The presence. But do they move in the power? Very few of them. There are many people who move only in the power. Do they carry the presence? No. So many times I'm sitting there and I'm weeping. Lord, teach him from presence to go to power and from power to go to presence. Because both have to work together. Both have to work together. Can you put the points, sir? Let me just go through the points. I'm going to take, see, when God wants, works on your behalf, you are exalted. Say that you are exalted. You are exalted. What God could not do. See, please, the amazing miracles which God was talking about was not to make all the crows into blue color or to make all the doves bark like a dog. No. That he is finding ways to exalt you and me. What he could not do with everybody, he wants to do with you. How many of you are willing, my brother, my sister? The second point, can you put, sir? What was the second one? Okay, the first one, move towards the harvest. Now move towards the harvest. Please, today, there is a mountain. There is a wall before you. There's a wall. But you know something? Not even one person murmured when Joshua led them. I know Joshua very well. He would have told them, if you guys murmur, I'll feed you to the crocodile. Not even one person murmured. Can you imagine? So please, in the church, if somebody murmurs, tell them, Peter Kumar said, I have to feed you to the crocodile. Now you may say, in Canada there's no crocodile. Send them to Australia. Be a crocodile man. Hallelujah. Yeah, please. Today, most of the churches are full of people who keep on murmuring. Move toward the harvest. We need ark bearers and armor bearers to work together. Ark bearers and armor bearers. Okay, guys. Is your daughter here? Anybody can play the keyboard? Okay, if she's not there, it's okay. Anyway, listen, guys, listen. Listen. Whatever is happening in your midst, you think God cares? God cares for you. God does not care for your situation. How rude. I'm telling you the truth. I've told you. See, many times I've told the Lord, I want to quit the ministry. He says, up to you. Up to you. He says, I can only call you, I can anoint you, and I can bring you so far. You want to quit? Fine. I love this woman because she always says, never quit. Never quit. Never quit. She always says, never quit. God always says, hey Peter, I know your circumstance and I know how to be with you in your circumstance. What's your problem? Is God with us? Please, even if we are sitting with a den of lions, He's going to be with us. So why do you scream, be with me, be with me, be with me? He's always with us. I remember I was in a very spiritual area of America where so much of prophetic, and before the worship, everybody was sitting on the floor and everybody was saying, come, please come, please come, please come. I thought they were calling their cat. And I was sitting and having coffee. You know, see, Peter Kumar has his own style. I'll sit somewhere. And then I asked them, what are you calling for? They said, we are calling the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said, I'm here. Why are they calling me? I never left them. Why can't they believe? Why can't they? See, how do you convince a man who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you? How do you convince him to be with you? Now listen, if he's going to be with you, can you be far away from him? Don't look at me like that. See, I'm challenging your mindset because I cannot challenge many preachers. Hallelujah. Many preachers are here because they tell all these things. The farther you go from God, the closer He comes to you. It's up to you. You can tell God, back off. My brother, my sister, listen. This morning I woke up. You ask her, I was sitting in a chair. When I sit in the chair and not in the bed, what do? I pray. I asked the Lord about this church. Please. God told me four things. Number one, Peter Kumar, somebody needs to lead. They need to go ahead, tell Pastor Randy and the corporate to prepare to lead. To prepare to lead. You cannot have 21,000 leaders. You could only have one man who can lead and a team which will say, you lead and we will help you to lead. Say that, you lead, we will help you to lead. You are a pioneer even today, sir. You can never put your armor on other people. Please, I'm talking to you like a son. You know, Saul said, hey David, go fight with the man, but take my... Did it work? See, David is a polite man. He could have stayed away and said, man, you're a loser. And your armor is full of all kinds of spirits. But still, the man was submissive. He cared. He said, okay, Papa, give it to me. I'll wear it. But I know it will not help. You don't need to follow people, sir. You know, this place, Vancouver, has an open heaven. But nobody is leading towards the destiny. Everybody is going in circles. 40 years of Miracle Club, 40 years of Glory Club made them lose their destiny. The second thing, I've always felt the presence of God intense in this place. Intense. Even yesterday, John said, John, what did he say? Come here, John. The last two nights, what were you saying about the things here?
You got to remind me. Oh, okay. Well, the first time night we were here, sometimes mentally you expect it to gradually build up. But the goodness of God, just the pure, lovely, holy goodness of God was so strong here before the meeting was even starting. And, I mean, I've said this to you before. The Lord showed me a spot over here on the floor right here. He said, it's a total open heaven here, right? Miracles, deliverance, signs and wonders. This is the place for it. And all the meetings, it's just been God's goodness. And then the word, it could be easy with God. That so rings true. You know, I like to talk about religion a lot. I don't like religion. And religion, one of the things it really loves to do is make things hard. And with Christ, it's easy, you know. We've been witnessing, the scripture says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we go around and we have our prayer meetings and we say, we really want to see God's glory. We really want to see God's glory. And I think the Holy Ghost is saying, let me out. This is what we've seen with Peter's ministry here. It's Christ in Peter Kumar, displaying God's glory for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of the Father. And we, as people in the church, are getting the benefits of it. I've seen people that have been delivered of demonic oppressions that have bound them for a long time and made their life miserable. Sicknesses that have bound them for years. You know, that's where Satan wants us to be. It's not where Jesus Christ wants us to be. He wants us free. And he wants us powerful and walking like kings and queens in this earth. And I get the pleasure of hanging out with Gita and Peter, and I see their passion for this area. And it must be difficult for them, I think, to see where Jesus wants to take us and to see where we're sort of stuck. Because that step that's ordered by the Lord, that step is actually so easy, you know, when we do it. And it's a mental game, I guess. But, the mind is at enmity with the things of the Spirit, and the mind is where the Western world is. I mean, we're educated, we read, we've got all of our information. Well, the mind is the battlefield of the enemy. He will win there every time. But the Spirit is where we have our victory. Amen? So, I mean, the gift I would like to give to my good friend Peter and Gita is that next time they come here, they just see power. And they just see great things happening. Because they, you know, when you work, how many people here, you go to work or you do a project and then it goes sideways or it doesn't get completed? That's a frustration, right? Everybody wants to see the fruit of their work. They don't want to stay in one spot. Amen?
Thank you very much. It's his birthday today, so please wish him. Amen? Guys, listen, guys. So Pastor Randy and Christine, are you listening to me? So train two kinds of people in the church. You should not have any visitors, any spectators. Anybody who comes in here, either they become bearers of the ark or bearers of the armor. And they should work together. They should work together. You may say, but Peter Kumar, there are so many churches in this area. Please, I live in Charlotte. In Charlotte alone, North Carolina, there must be about 3,000 churches. But I've been asking God, which church is going to lead revival? Everybody is talking about revival. Today, please, American churches, North American churches, you have more revelation than any other people in the world. I come from India. We don't have Bible schools. We don't have many Bible schools. Every day our people are getting persecuted. Every day pastors are being killed. Every day. But in America, in Canada, there's so much of comfort. Why? Because maybe your forefathers have planted good seeds. But today, you're not here to sow more seeds. You're here to possess the harvest. You're here to possess the harvest. I'm not saying give up everything and run on the streets and scream Jesus loves you. Don't do that. They'll arrest you. And I'm not saying give up everything and go to China. Listen, guys. This church has to lead. You don't need to agree with everything. You think everybody agreed with Joshua? They would at least ask Joshua, man, show me your rod. I know Moses had a rod which was 5 foot. And I know Joshua would have cried to the Lord, you gave a blue rod to Moses, give me a green rod. If Moses could have a rod, I want to have a bigger rod. Otherwise, people won't accept me. Today, please, do people easily accept us? They don't accept us at all. Do they accept us? When you talk about God says, they laugh at you. I'm going to take just 2 minutes. The harvest is not what you work for. The harvest is what you wept for. You have cried. You have prayed. You don't know the value of your tears. You don't know the value of the sufferings you go through. As a Christian, as a child of God, you chose to do certain things. You chose because you had a God consciousness. You think God will ignore that? God will not ignore that. People will never see that, but God will never dishonor that. The revelation which God has given to you, sir, the supernatural, so much of teaching, so much of word, and so much of love you have poured out in the lives of people, you think it will go waste? I mean, we are nobody, me and Geeta. We are nobody, but we love this church because we love Pastor Christine and many of you. I've been telling him, the moment I come to Vancouver, the first church which I want to visit is Cloverdale. Because there's so much of love here. You can talk to my wife. In many churches, we are ignored. I'm the preacher. Sometimes they don't even know I'm the preacher. Then when I stand up to preach, you? I never thought you're a preacher. But ark bearers, what does an ark bearer do? He brings in the entire presence. Say that entire presence. Say that entire presence upon himself. The entire. The moment you step in, every wall, every barrier will open up. The moment you step in, God knows you don't want to lose the harvest. You don't want to lose the harvest. The armor bearer, why do they move forward? They say, we can go past any enemy. Hallelujah. You know, Moses never fought a war. Joshua had to subdue 32 kings. How many kings? 32 kings he had to subdue to go and possess. This church has both people who carry the ark and people who carry the armor. Before I close, I want Geeta to say a few words. Why do you love this church? Please come. Come here. You know, come here. I'll finish it. Come here. Give her a hand, please.
I'm sorry, he caught me at an emotional moment. I greet you all. Thank you all for having us, for accepting us as family. And we really we really honor that, because it's very few pastors who own us up. They always think, you know, evangelists are out to get my sheep. And you have to constantly assure them that we'll remain evangelists. We won't take away your sheep. You won't lose your sheep. We will still love all of you and the whole of you. So we thank you so much, Pastor Randy and Christine, for associating with us. Every time we call them and say we are coming to this area, can Peter Kumar minister? And he'll always say yes. And we just love that about him. Thank you. Thank you for having us. Thank you for praying for us. And we know whatever this church has been like a pioneer in this region. We know the harvest that God has prepared. And when you know that there is a harvest, the enemy is always ready to devour. You know, when there's a spoken word and when you're pressing into fulfillment, we always find that things come against so badly, so horribly, and it puts us in a corner and we are like, what do we do, Lord? We can only weep and cry. And that's the only time I find that God really moves mightily. I mean, I can tell you all incidents where we have stood with people who've gone through those struggles. We've just wept with them because we don't know what to do. Things are so strongly against systems, government, rules, whatever you may say. We just feel that we are in a corner. People, words against, people who just turn against, who you never expected would turn against. But God is our God. He's a God who's watching every tear that we shed. And like my husband said, not a single tear is wasted. So I believe we will move into the harvest, and this church will be a pioneer for that. And when that happens, everybody will turn around and know that you were faithful and you stood and you bore the ark and you were an armor bearer. So God bless you all and be with you all. Honey, point 3 and 4, don't forget.
The third thing, be determined to stand. When other people refuse to stand, please, again, it's not about a pastor, it's not about a family. God doesn't care. I'm telling you, Moses murdered somebody, and when God told him, man, I'm giving you the law into your hands, he would have said, hallelujah, I deserve it. I deserve it. And then God would have said, I want you to give the law to my people. He would have said, yes, at least now they will begin to respect me. And God would have said, can you have a read about that? And one law says, thou shalt not murder. How do you think Moses would have felt? God, please, only this can we pass. I'm a murderer. What will people think when I stand up and say, you should not murder? God would have said, Moses, you don't understand. I don't care. I don't care. So that's how I'm going to honor you. See, please, where there is shame, there will be honor. The Bible says, for every shame, God will give us a double portion. Isaiah 61:7. So please, if you say, I'm standing, you're not standing for Pastor Randy or Pastor Christie or any pastor. No. They don't need. They have a call. They have to stand on their call. I don't expect people to stand on my call. I'm challenged. My own family. My dad is 85 years old. He said, are you a crazy man? Why do you leave your wife so much and go to countries? I tried to tell my dad, I'm your son, Dad. And you prayed for me that I should find God. And you prayed for me that I will serve God. And now why do you say? I saw tears in his eyes. No, I think you're doing excessively. I said, no, Dad. So many times he's told me, the way you preach, the way you teach, the gifts you have, just start a church and teach everybody to give their money to you. You'll become rich. Please, my dad is 85, a man of integrity. But what he says, don't stand so determined. Maybe a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, a little bit there. And finally, my brother, my sister, what you tasted, say that, what I tasted, I want everybody to taste. Joshua and Caleb, every day they will look at them and said, I tasted it. I touched the soil. I drank the water. I carried the grape. I carried the cluster. I know how it tastes. I know how it tastes. So even among the bad report, a bad report will not change the taste of the goodness of God. A bad report will not change the taste of the goodness of God. Many of you have stood. You have tasted. Look at the generation and say, you don't know how it tastes. I know it. I want you to be partakers. I want you to be partakers. My brother, my sister, millions of Canadians need to come back to God. You lead. You lead. Yes, so much of challenges to this church. Maybe many people dropped out. But if you are a remnant, you're not standing here for them. You're standing here for a revelation. And when you stand for a revelation, God begins to trust you more than you can trust yourself. More than you can trust yourself. When you begin to lead, Pastor Randy, please make a strategy how to lead. Talk to the ark bearers and talk to the armor bearers. Tell them, I'm going to lead. You guys stand and you guys move. Then the generation will follow. Because today, many churches are taking people into this miracle club and a glory club. They are having a great time with God. That doesn't mean they are moving ahead into the destiny. I want Pastor Randy to say a few words and then I'm going to challenge you and pray for you. Yes, sir.
Wow. I don't know what to say.
Check with your wife.
What should I say? Yeah. We want to honor the word, of course. And we are so grateful for those of you that are armor bearers and those of you that are ark bearers that have stayed with us. It's not been easy, I know. But you've chosen to stay. I believe what Peter is saying is that you've stayed because God said, not because you think my wife is so beautiful. That's why I stayed. Give it to her. Okay.
I don't know what to say either, but I know that this word is right. It's a right word, and it's very timely. And I felt just in this last week, and I couldn't attend the meetings, and I was so sad not to be able to attend the meetings. But I felt in this last week that somehow we have to pull together, because God, what God, He's preparing us. He's been preparing us through this horrid year. He's been actually preparing us, and I cannot believe the goodness of God during this horrible year. But the goodness of God, and it feels like every time I feel crushed, it's like He doesn't even waste any time to rescue. He just comes right in. And He's been doing that all year long. And I know that, you know, especially recently, I feel like there's just been so much brokenness. But He's just into repairing it. And I remember Patty Dennison stood up here, Reese's mom. And Reese is in India right now. Was going to go to Brazil. And then God totally changed, tricked him. And said, yes, are you ready to go to Brazil? Well, I'm taking you to India. So he's in India. And his mom stood up and said, all I can say is God redeems. God redeems. And so in this whole time, He keeps assuring us. And when it would get ugly, and it has, this weekend, it felt ugly again. And God, you know, and through Randy this morning, he just had to encourage me four 4:30 in the morning, and I went down, I practically crawled downstairs, and I said, you have to pray for me because it's just so heavy. And it's not always that way, but it has gone that way. And he did, he just prayed for me. And then we talked, and somehow, I don't know, God, he just moves, and he just straightens it all around, and he's not gonna leave us there. And so what Peter said in Gita, thank you, what he's saying is, it is time to grow up. And I'll tell you, the murmuring, when you said that, that has been going on and on and on. It has been from the beginning with leaders in our church murmuring and complaining and grumbling. And it's like, God swallowed the people up because he couldn't handle it. And it was such, he said, only Caleb didn't hold me in contempt. He called it contempt when we murmur and grumble. We're insulting the Lord. It's like slapping him in the face. We don't believe you. And I don't mean to preach on and on here, but I know that the timing of this message is way bigger than we understand. Like, just even Dawson, Dale, that you're here today, I just feel like people that have gone out and been hurt and bruised and broken, our expectation can't be on each other. Like, we can't make you happy. I don't care how fast we dance. We just have never been able to make people happy. And I think God made it that way because he's the one who's going to make you happy. He's going to make you a happy dancer. He makes me a happy dancer. Nobody else can do that. He makes us rejoice. And so he's calling this man who has led a work, he's calling him to lead. Why do you think that? Because it's a different day. It's a different day. It's going to take the worshipers and the warriors to work together. There's people got to do the work of the ministry. You got to find out what it is that God wants you to do and stop arguing and stop holding back and just get in and do it. And I am totally encouraged because I know what our destiny is. We were told years ago what our destiny is, and he has been calling for it, but now I have to step into it. And just like Joshua, like they had to step into the river and then it parted, or it made a way. Yeah, so we're not waiting for the Egyptians to come, and that's what I've been doing, the Red Sea, but it is actually the river. It's time, and we had that word. He had that word given to him by Pastor Bill McDonald years ago. Before we planted the church, he gave him that word of Joshua. So it is just destiny time.
Thank you very much, Pastor Rodney and Christine. Listen, guys, the Red Sea parted. Are you with me? It was a great miracle. But Jordan, God cut off. Say that, cut off. He didn't split. Cut off. Anything which was coming against, he stopped. So that's where you are. That's where the season is. Now anything which comes against, God is going to deal with that. You fix your eyes on the harvest. The harvest is not just growing your church. It's for a whole generation. It's for a whole generation. Guys, please. If I am faithful to God, God will be faithful to me. But if I'm faithful to people, God will be more faithful to me and the people for whom I stand. Joshua never went against Moses, but God still honored Moses. So, listen, guys, I'm going to go into a time of ministry. I can easily prophesy, I can lay hands, but today it's part of you should respond. Say that, part of me. One more time. One more team. So, tonight is my last meeting. From here, I'm going to the airport tonight. I'm leaving to Indonesia. This is my life. We have a ministry. It's called Forerunners Nation Changers. If anybody wants to sow a seed, talk to Pastor Randy. We have a Canadian account. So you don't need to sow a seed now. But the seed will be used to bring me here, my airfares. I asked God many times, teach me to walk on the water. I'm still getting there. But I still need to get on a plane. I told the airline I have 12 kgs of faith. They still want my money. Hallelujah. But I want to come. I've committed to come to this region once in 2 to 3 months. And every time I want to come here. So, and then there are some CDs there. It's more for people who have jobs, marketplace, need to have a deeper. They're all teachings there. Very few of them sow into our ministry. I'm committed to go to nations to turn the hearts of millions. If I come to Canada, it's only to see Canada lead revival. Many times I tell Americans, Canada is going to lead. They don't like that. Don't tell them I said that. But listen, guys, this morning I'm going to call for two kinds of people. People who want to be an ark bearer from today. That means you're not going to be just an ordinary pew warmer. The pew is so hot, you have to get up. What is an ark bearer? The entire, say that, the entire presence of God upon you. That means you need to press on, press on, press on, press on, seeking the face of God. So if you would say, Peter Kumar, from today, I don't understand the whole thing. The people who picked the ark, they didn't understand how it's going to work. But God had greater plans. So God will make it happen if you carry the ark. So if you say, Peter Kumar, from today, I want to become an ark bearer. I want it to come on my left hand side. I want to be soaked in the presence of God. The entire, not touch and go. Not touch and go. It's a decision. It's a commitment. It is standing. If you say, yes, I want to do it, stand up and come this side on my left. Yes. And the second, people who are armor bearers. That means we will fight. We will fight. They are the presence. These are the power. We will fight. We will carry it forward. We will lead. We will lead. We will lead. If you say we will lead, we will lead. We will lead. It's not about Pastor Randy. It's not the structure of the church. You're seeing the harvest. You're seeing the harvest. And you are screaming, I don't want to miss the harvest. Presence. Yeah, choose both. Okay, wait, wait. Okay. Good. So stand with somebody. Stand with somebody. Stand. Stand with somebody. Hold their hands. Hold their hands. Hold hands. Two. Not all of you. Choose somebody and hold their hand. See, you're all standing. No. Choose a person. Please, choose one person and tell them, I'm standing with you. I'm standing with you. I'm standing with you. Even people behind, you can join. I'm standing with you. I'm standing with you. I'm standing with you. I'm standing with you. All of God. All of God. Say that, all of God. And all of my enemy. I stand with all of God. I stand against all of the enemy. How many of you like that? I stand with all of God. I stand against all of the enemy. I will not wait for somebody to lead. For I am going to lead. I see the harvest. I see the destiny. I see my generation. I don't want to lose anybody. I waited for everybody to possess their destiny. Today, I will not wait. I will move. I will move. When I move, everybody will follow. Everybody will follow. Everybody will follow. I want everybody to close your eyes. Tell the Lord, trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. I know you will never leave me. But teach me how to look beyond my walls. How to look beyond my walls. How to look beyond my walls. No more waiting, Lord. No more waiting. No more waiting. I will carry the ark. I will carry the armor. Trust me. I'm willing to change. I'm willing to change. Guys, I want to lay hands on all of you. I want to lay hands. Put your hands out now. Everybody put your hands. You know, you're a person who dreams. You see angels. You're in the prophetic. Now you will have a women's ministry. Inside the church and outside. Supernatural signs and miracles. You have some, I see some even grandchildren. I don't know, some small kids. All of them are called. All of them. They come out of brokenness. All of them are called. You have a gift of healing.